Hey guys, welcome. And I'm sorry to be a couple of minutes late. Just crazy, crazy times, right? Kids at home, dogs barking. I had a delivery. Everyone showed up today at the wrong time. The washing machine is broken. The tech just showed up before the call. So I had to, you know, show them where things are. So, you know, never a dull moment here. Let's see, we got Greg, David, Leslie, Michael, Sandra, Horse Creek Production. I'm not sure who Horse Creek Production is, but Horse Creek Production, great to have you here. All right, guys, so we're going to get started here, and I don't have my slides prepped, but you know the drill. You know, even with everything that's going on right now, in fact, probably even more importantly, because of everything that's going on right now, it's so key that we do two things. First of all, watch and monitor the inputs that we allow into our lives, because look, we know that the news is not great. It is what it is, right? But the more that we get, the less helpful it's going to be, number one. Number two, it's now more than ever very important that you focus on the things that are going well. So would love for everyone to be a good sport and just in the chat area, type in a capital W and let us know about a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. It could be anything, big or small. You know the drill. We're just looking to see and recognize and celebrate what's going well in your world. You decide what that win is. So just anytime, just type in a W in the chat area and let us know what's going on in your world. All right, I think I got this set up properly. All right, got a few answers here. Greg says, "Hey, got out of a 60-hour-a-week full-time gig. Good, and then hey, now I can devote all my time to this, right, Greg? Wonderful." Michelle says, "I removed all soap scum from my bathroom." You know what? That is a win because Michelle, if things were normal right now, you would have a soap scum problem. It's just, it would be bugging you every day when you take a shower. awesome. Hey, I'm getting, I don't have all this extra time right now. I'm actually a little jealous of people who are doing all this yard work. I did get mulch delivered today and it's a ridiculous amount. I don't know when I'm going to get it done, but I got to get it done. And of course, you know, everything's breaking around the house. So, hey, I got to change before I call the tech, by the way. A win for me. I got to change the drain pump on my washing machine. Never done that before. It didn't quite fix it, but it felt good. Leslie says, American Marketing Association promoted a blog I wrote comparing baking bread to writing a blog post. Oh, cool. I also write regular posts and get free PR. That's awesome, Leslie. Great, great exposure. You never know what come out of that. Many times it's like, two steps removed. Sometimes some of the key benefits are indirect. David says, like everyone, I was nervous about how to hit the market, how hit to the market would affect my work, but several clients have reached out requesting content for the next few months. Very grateful. Awesome. Congratulations, David. Wonderful. Michael says, I continue warming up prospecting. Just use your coronavirus WP template from Friday's emerging session a couple of times. Excellent. Been hearing from several clients who were at that call who have already gotten conversations with prospects and clients from those ideas. And in a couple of cases, they already have new work or new clients. So love that you guys are taking fast action on that stuff. All right. And Michael says, Michael already shared that one with me. All right, good stuff, guys. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to change before we get to Q&A. And by the way, at any point, if you have a question, anything you need feedback on, you know the drill. Capital Q in the chat area. Just give me an idea of what you've got. I'll unmute you, we'll have a conversation, but that way the queue and just a basic question or summary of your question or item, we'll see that, will show me that you've got something, and then I need to bring you in, okay? Ground rules are pretty straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. When we talk, one question per person. We always have time for several rounds, but I want to give everyone a shot, okay? I wanted to address something, and you can, by the way, you can type those in at any time, but in the meantime, I'm going to switch over to my iPad and talk about something that's come up a few times. We kind of touched on it on Friday, but I wanted to kind of give you a different angle to this. Just bear with me. 9502. All right, let's try this again. Stop share. So, the question that's been coming up a lot lately is, Ed, I don't know, should I really be prospecting in this environment? It's either I'm concerned, does it even make sense? Of course, you guys know that it makes sense, but maybe you're wondering, does it feel insensitive? Does it feel, maybe I feel like I'm bothering people. Everyone is such in panic mode right now. Does it, you know, why or how, what should you even be doing this? Should be trying something else. The straight answer is that you should absolutely be prospecting right now, assuming that you have room for work. I have talked to some people who are just beyond overbooked right now, and they just can't. But if you're in a mode right now where you're looking for work, you're looking to fill up your pipeline, you should absolutely be looking for clients. Now, we talked about this in the emergency session on Friday for those of you who were there. If this is now, you're going to see several scenarios play out. You're going to see a lot of freelancers do nothing. Okay. And this is the hope, the reliance on hope. And you guys know that hope is not a strategy. Not a strategy at all. And I guarantee you that people who just sit back, do nothing, and just hope and pray that things will get back on track, that, you know, that they will do okay, they'll do the bare minimum and hope that that will enable them to ride this out, they're not going to be around in a year, okay? There's just very, very slim possibility. You're seeing a lot of people, or you will see a lot of people who are just kind of tough it out. It's going to be the up and down. And many of those people will make it. I mean, you can certainly survive there. That's exhausting. You know, toughing this out is not a good long-term strategy. And if we look at it this way, if over here, this is like a year from now, and let's just talk about income. And this is like bankrupt or out of business, okay? Of course, we know income is not the only measure, but if you just tough it out, you'll probably end up where you are today. My guess is you're going to be a little lower than that, okay? And you're going to exhaust yourself for nothing. We don't want to do that, okay? We want to pivot, and we want to be strategic, okay? So that's what I'm promoting here, and of course, you're going to have to make some adjustments. Now, why does it make sense to prospect, and what kind of prospecting should you do? In terms of your outreach, here's the thing you got to keep in mind. We're going to be seeing five phases. Let me do this in a way where it doesn't get too crowded here. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, and phase five. I think it's really helpful to think of it this way, because even though it doesn't quite work this perfect in real life, I think you'll see where the opportunities are and how you could profit from them. Okay, so phase one, we've already seen this, okay? This is the crisis management. One thing I should mention is if there's one thing that companies and organizations need badly right now, whether they recognize it or not, is the ability to communicate clearly, effectively, persuasively with their different stakeholders, okay? That is what we do. Most companies are not in the business of communications. They're in the business of something else. They may have some, you know, marketing people, staff writers, and so forth. But for the most part, a lot of businesses aren't very well equipped to do this well. And that's where they need us. We've seen the crisis management emails come through, flooding our inboxes. Here's what we're doing about COVID-19. Here's our plan. Here's how we're going to be serving you. And just assuring customers and prospects that everything's under control, considering the situation. I feel like, you know, crisis management will be a part of this for the next few months because things continue to change. This is a very fluid situation. But the first wave has definitely come through already. We're kind of past at least the first wave. So that's phase one. Phase two, for businesses, it's going to be pivot and reframe offers. All right, so products, services, and solutions they have. Okay, how do we reposition them? How do we reposition and reframe our offers so that they match the context of the existing environment, which is completely different from the way it was a month ago, even, right? Smart organizations, smart companies are recognizing that they need to do this. Have already recognized this. That requires a boatload of great copy and marketing communications, which again, somebody has to do. Can they handle it all in-house? In many cases, they can't. They can do some. A lot of the strategy will come from above. They'll do that in-house. But the execution of that, meaning the writing, somebody needs to do that, okay? So this is an opportunity that didn't exist a month ago, even, in terms of writing work. Phase three is actually tied to phase two. You could even say that they're happening in parallel, but I wanted to kind of carve out its own phase for this. Editorial, calendar, scramble. All right, most organizations, as you know, do content marketing and do it relatively well, have an editorial calendar. Many times they plan that and even create the content for it way ahead of time. I know even in my business, as small as I am, my coaching business, we create all our content a quarter ahead of time. So most of what I'm publishing now, I created back in November. Okay. November seems like 42 years ago. Right now, so much has changed. A lot of that content is not very relevant or relevant at all in the current context. We're having to scramble right now to create some editorial content that, again, is aligned with the current reality. Very, very important. And guess what? That means creating new stuff. New stuff in a very, very short time period. Very, very quickly. Because you're having to go to market, you're having to go to print right away with this stuff, if you will. So, again, that creates a huge stress on existing marketing, PR, communications departments that they were not prepared for. That's where you can come in and help out. Phase four is going to be continued response. Again, very fluid situation, changing every week. It seems like what I talk about this week is going to be, you know, some of the fundamentals, of course, will remain the same, but some of the specifics are going to be different next week after that. So being able to respond to the market, respond to what's changing in terms of this crisis, very, very important in the ability to tap freelance professionals who can help them do that, help them pivot, turn, and react and respond, I should say, quickly, very, very important. In phase five, ride the upswing. Look, we don't know when we're going to come out of this mess, okay? Everyone agrees on one thing. We're going to come out of it at some point. And companies, organizations are going to, once again, they're going to need to pivot to now talk about this new normal that we're going to fit. We're not coming back to the exact same scenario we were in, let's say in January of 2020. It's going to be a different world. Okay. So again, continued marketing communications, copy, offers to ride this upswing into, of course, everything they've done up until this point is what's going to help position them better and ensure that they're in a better spot than they were going into it. But it doesn't stop there. It's a continued effort. So should you continue to do your outreach, prospect, market? Absolutely. And this is kind of a roadmap, I think, of the opportunities that are in front of you now and will continue to emerge no matter how this thing unfolds. Okay, so I wanted to kind of give you a visual representation of what that looks like. And of course, these curves, now when you think about it, represent your three choices as a freelancer, but they also represent what different organizations out there are going to do and are already doing. Some are choosing to do nothing. Some are choosing to tough it out. And some are choosing to pivot and respond. Remember, we talked in the emergency session, there's a big difference between respond and react. That green curve is for those who are responding. It's not all sunshine, roses, and unicorns. They know that. They're responding the best they can. So anyway, hope that helps shed some light on what's going on out there, what the opportunities are, and ready to take your questions or feedback requests. Whatever you guys need, I'm here for you. All right, Leslie has a question here. It says, I was just told a major web copy blog project was placed on hold for an engineering firm because of COVID-19. I'm going to say I understand. I'll offer to help in some other way, such as repurposing copy or the project could be phased back. Any other comments? Yeah. So let's talk about that, Leslie. Hey, Leslie.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Luckily, I just got the email an hour ago, so I was going to go back with another email, but anyway, so that was my answer. It was a second project like that because of COVID-19, but anyway, if you have any other comments, I'll need to respond to her after this, so.
Yeah, well, I would use these phases as kind of a framework for how I might communicate with a client who puts things on hold or just cancels a project or whatever, right? It's the, you don't want to preach, right? You never want to say, I think you're making a mistake. That's never going to work. Yeah. Instead, what you want to say is, hey, totally understand. This is, you know, we're in unprecedented times right now. And then move. So I always use the feel, felt, found approach, which is you never disagree. You always say, I gotcha. Totally understand where you're coming from. And I can imagine what you're dealing with right now. I can only imagine, right? So you connect with them. Then it's the, have you thought of this? Or other people in that situation have felt that when this happens, you know, it's useful to do this. So I feel you, I've found, I felt that way before, and I found. Okay, so how does this translate? I gotcha, understand, you know, this very difficult time right now. You know, one of the things that's going to be key right now in this environment is going to be pivoting and communicating your offer, your value proposition, how you're positioning yourself, and continuing to adapt as this situation develops, right? And that's going to require communicating well, communicating effectively, being able to respond quickly, easily. So it's just setting it up for them to say, well, actually, you know, there might be an opportunity. And by the way, feel free to offer some ideas. So what I just mentioned here was phase two, right? You know more about them than I do. So you could, you know, maybe you see an opportunity here, or at least to ask, because you know that they publish content, right? So I'd say it's the best thing. You don't, right now we're not in phase four yet. Phase four is kind of a maintenance thing. Mm-hmm. But right now, the companies who are going to then track on the green curve are going to be the ones who realize they need to pivot and they need to reframe their offers and their communications, right? So let them know you understand. This is a very scary time, unprecedented, right? We've never lived through anything like this.
Yep.
And then just throw this out there. Hey, right now, the firms, the engineering firms that communicate effectively and reposition and pivot effectively are the ones who are going to be better positioned to ride this thing out, as you know. And then throw some ideas based on what you know about them.
Okay.
You know, like offer 2-3 bullet points, right? That really speak to that. So don't keep it high level. You reframe it at a high level, but then you offer some very clear tactical ideas. Just throw them out there, you know, food for thought. Are these things you're considering, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the project was web copy for, you know, a new service area. So I guess I'm not sure if they're going to continue with that, but I can throw something out there. Or maybe blog.
What do they do? So what they're, you said
engineering firm
right?
That was like development, some development services, commercial development, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, and that's a tough area, right? Because think about all the retailers who are getting hit.
Yeah.
Right now, and then the developers or the holding firms that own those buildings, you know, they're having to forgive these rents for now. Of course, there's all kinds of government stimulus right now, but this is not, you know, they're not going to get paid next week.
Right. Right.
So
there might be one area that she sees might be more, have more potential than another one or something like that. And then like my offer of, hey, you know, I could just do a small portion of this. You know, she had like 8 categories and 21 projects, you know, that kind of thing. I could just say, maybe there's just a few of the categories that come to the top right now, and maybe we could just address those or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Ultimately, what you want is, I mean, when you think about it, is there's three levels here. So there's you. There's the engineering firm that offers services to customers or clients, right? So how can you help them? It's really, you're taking a bottom-up approach. Considering their clients, you know, what they're going through, how can they reframe some of those services or pivot there from an offer and communication standpoint to so that it resonates with them based on the existing context.
Okay.
I mean, this doesn't need to be, I know this sounds abstract. This doesn't need to be that complicated in mm-hmm. many cases. I want to show you something. I was just looking at him yesterday, just curious what he was doing. And sure enough, he had already pivoted. Mike Michalowicz, author of Profit First and several other books for small business owners. I'm going to switch over to a browser. All right, do you see this? Mike Michalowicz.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Now, I don't remember what his exact headline was here, okay? But I want to show you kind of a really simple reframe and pivot. Entrepreneurship simplified for uncertain times. Now, I think, if I remember correctly, that up until a couple of weeks ago, the headline was something like Entrepreneurship Simplified.
Okay, so
by adding for uncertain times, now you've got my attention. Because as an entrepreneur, all I'm thinking about right now is the uncertainty of my business's future. Okay? If you start talking about some other things that really aren't speaking to that, I feel like you're either out of touch, I'm probably going to get angry, and I'm certainly going to move on to another website, okay? I'm not even going to submit an inquiry here. I'm oversimplifying things, but you know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Look down here. It's hard to grow a business when the economy is working against you.
Oh, great.
Do you think this message would have resonated in December?
Right.
No, it would have felt like, wait a minute, did he write this in 2008?
Yeah. That's
right.
Great.
And that's it. I was looking to see what else he's got in here, and there's there might be a couple of words here and there, but that's really it. So now I'm not saying that what you could do for them is this simple, but I wanted to offer you a very simple example on sometimes it's just kind of, that's just a reframe. That's all it is.
Yeah. Well, that was, he's got it right on, doesn't he? Very impressive.
Exactly. So, all right. So if we go back to, let's go back to the, to this diagram, you need to help them communicate to a customer who's facing a very different reality. And they're now concerned about only one thing. Okay, so how can then this firm speak to that and show how they can help them solve that problem? You know, up until recently, customers were investing in products and services and solutions. They were nice to have, important and urgent. Urgent has always been an investment people make and businesses make. Now, even certainly not a nice to have. Nobody, no business right now is going to spend money on nice to have things. Maybe on one or two important things, but really where they're spending their money is going to be in urgent things. So how can we turn these services that you were going to write about and reframe them so that they're Okay. Because if you got a bleeding neck, the only thing you're worried about right now is how can I stop the bleeding? You know, selling chocolate to somebody with a bleeding neck is really not going to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's helpful.
All right. So yeah, just do a little bit of, you know, do a little bit of thinking. First, remember what we talked about on Friday. It's critical thinking and creative problem solving. Come up with some ideas and then craft that email. Agree? You know, have you thought or, you know, have you considered? And here's why. And here's some ideas. What do you think?
Okay.
And not everyone's going to go for it, Leslie. So we're not trying to save every opportunity. We're just trying to, we're doing our best, right? So this is why this green curve is not, notice it doesn't go straight up. You know, it's got this, the next 3 months are probably going to be like this. A lot of effort for very little return on our part or for us.
Yep. Well, I can offer them some food for thought and then just still say, hey, if there's, consider a portion of it.
Yeah, there you go.
What's your priority? And I can help out with the priority and then we can go back to the other stuff.
Yeah, priority, but you know, don't just leave it up to them. Say, what would be something or how can we reframe it so that it's, you know, it's better aligned with the reality. It's more of an urgent item. It kind of fits in that category for these guys.
Okay, for the customers, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's a nice to have, then, I mean, you can't take a nice to have and turn it into an urgent.
Right.
You can take an important thing and turn it into an urgent if you reframe it, though.
Okay, well, I'll let you
Make
know.
Sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know how it goes. Okay. Even if we can salvage just a little bit of it, it's not about putting more money in your pocket. It's really, I think right now, if you come to it with a from a place of service and really wanting to serve and help your clients, I think it's a healthier thing because it'll be a win-win and they're going to sense your sincerity.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, David has a question here. Sorry for this novel, he says. All right. I recently let go of my editor, of 3 years. She taught me a lot when we first started working together, but for the last year, she was not as helpful. One thing she's always harped on was making changes to blog posts or copywriting. For the first and second drafts, the changes were appropriate, and I appreciated the feedback. But sometimes the copywriting would be dragged out to 5, 6, or even 8 drafts for the smallest things. This would equate to a month or more of wasted time. I couldn't keep up with my blogging schedule for both my websites. My question is this: what is the balance between perfecting your copy and publishing it on your website? I feel like I missed out on posting months of helpful content because my editor was so focused on making the smallest changes. At the same time, I'm a writer, so my content needs to be organized and well-written. Is there a middle ground? Do you have a recommendation or feedback for finding a balance? Yeah. So David, let me bring you in. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. So, hey, before I answer, tell me a little bit about, you say you have an editor. I'm assuming this is a freelancer that you've hired to edit your content and copy, correct?
Right. When I hired her, it was, more of a move from my part to kind of fast track learning the ins and outs of blogging and getting better at it, as opposed to trying to spend, you know, dozens of hours on Google trying to improve on my own. And she did fast track my ability in the beginning, but then there just came a point where it was the same story every single week. And she was based on 3 hours a week. So I paid a set price per month and she dedicated her time to 3 hours per week. And she was kind of all over the place as in regards to copywriting, checking my copywriting, providing feedback. And she even kind of went, I hired her to take care of building a website, which looking back on it, probably wasn't the smartest thing because she was kind of trying to pull this jack of all trades image and it kind of backfired on me. But as I mentioned in the beginning, she was really helpful with teaching me some stuff about blogging and copywriting, and I let her go as of this month just because it's been about a year, and I feel like no real progress has been made. In fact, I asked this question specifically because of some of her recommendations were in direct conflict with me and this business course with you, Ed. So I realized really quickly that she doesn't quite have a business mindset. She has a editorial mindset. Maybe it is a business mindset in the fact that the longer she can drag out these edits, the more she's getting paid. I'm not really sure. I'm not going to speak on that, but it just seemed like it was too much editing to the point where it was just nitpicking. And another problem is that her edits were such that it took away from my voice from the
Gotcha. All right. So here's what you need to keep in mind in terms of, I'm going to answer your question, but I want to draw this out first.
Okay.
There's a, let's see, what do we call this? Let's call this effort. And this is return. Okay, so what you're getting for your effort. What happens is, you know, at first, an editor or a proofreader can get you massive return for little effort. And when I say effort, by the way, keep in mind that we're not just talking about effort as in what they exert, but also your investment, you know, in their services, okay? So resources or effort. But then there comes a point when you start getting diminishing returns. So what happens is, you know, as you can see here, to get you from, you know, let's say where you start, zero to this point, for very little effort, money invested in their services, look at what you're getting. That's quite a bit, right? But then, you know, the next milestone, not quite as much. About the same amount of effort for a limited amount of return. What I'm hearing from you is you'd kind of, you'd gone beyond that and you were somewhere, you know, let's just say here, and you know, let's look at the delta here. You're it's again, you're paying a lot and investing a lot, and part of the effort too is the opportunity cost of not getting that stuff published because it got held up or whatever. And look at the return you're getting. In fact, maybe you were even beyond that. Maybe the curve had kind of flattened. So what's the answer? I'm going to give you a number, and I know it's still going to sound theoretical, but I'm going to show you where it came from. It's somewhere in here. 85% good enough. Now, I know that sounds like, wow, really? That's I'm a writer. I can't turn in 85% good enough work. I'm not talking about your copy, your content should be error-free, as close to that as possible, okay? But when it comes to, there's two things. There's proofreading and then there's editing. And when it comes to really heavy line editing, you can get to close to perfection relatively quickly. Okay, so let's just talk about, let's call it proofreading. You know, the mechanics of your grammar, style, flow, and all that, that's pretty easy to get to close to 100%. Doesn't take a lot of effort, time. A lot of people can get you there. Everything else in terms of tone, in terms of the message, your approach, some of the things that the great editors can really do well, that takes a lot more effort. And that's the part that I would say, you know what, 85% is good enough. There's a study that I read a few months ago, and I can dig it up and show it to you, where they found that when you're practicing or trying to master a new skill, and I think one of the examples they gave was a musical instrument, practicing at the 85% good enough level is optimal. Trying to achieve close to perfection or perfection in your practice is counterproductive and can easily backfire. Less than 85%, so just doing it half-assed, 50% is not going to get you there. They found that about the optimal level was 85%. So I think it really applies here too in so many aspects of business. I think what I'm hearing from you is that you were just way beyond that, and you're getting drastically diminished returns. And you know, you're not getting what you need out of it. It's still exerting all that effort, paying this person, and then getting things held up that never saw the light of day because they were just hung up. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And I'm not sure about the study you're talking about, but when you just said that, it was like light bulb just went off because, you know, like every blog post I would write for either of my websites, super excited in the beginning to write it, started writing it, get to a point where I believe it's fine. And that probably was around the 85-90%. And then the coming weeks were just so agonizing with this editor, just because it just harping on the little tiniest things and, you know, removing my personality, my style from the writing, and then replacing it with just this mechanical drone of language. And then after that 85%, I just dreaded even writing about it. And so that's right on the money. And definitely, I would say for the last year, it's been diminishing returns. I think the only reason I've kept her so long was because we switched into a new product project where my website was being created, and that was my main focus. And that's even gotten to a point where it's just like, all right, let's wrap this up and let's get everything finished.
Yeah, got it. All right, well, I think you did the right thing. I mean, I'm glad you're thinking of it this way. You're starting to see, you know what, you got to ship. You know, there's that term. You just got to ship. Until you ship, nothing happens. Right, all that stuff, nobody's going to see. The product's not going to see the light of day. You're not going to generate the income. So 85% good enough. And in fact, visually, notice that this kind of achieves balance. I believe in math, you know, this is when the tangential curve or line is at about a 45-degree angle, meaning you're getting about the same return for your effort. It's kind of equitable. There's parity here. Once you cross this, you go beyond that, you start getting into this situation where it's a lot of effort for little return. you know, it's hard to figure out where that is, but I think you know where the balance is. I mean, think about, you know, what a great example of this is software companies. Software companies, the reason they're able to create so many great products so quickly is they've adopted a mentality of rapid prototyping. They work on a minimum viable product. It's a beta. They put it out there. They tell people, look, this is just a beta. Use it, test it, give us feedback. And in fact, the software is built so they can get the feedback they need automatically. And then based on that, they fix, they iterate, and they put version, you know, that was version 0.1, and now it's version 0.2, right? And then they keep repeating the process. The way it used to be done in tech and so many other industries, they wouldn't ship until they were at version 5.0. You know what the problem with that is that there's an infinity number of versions. So it's arbitrary anyway. When is it good enough? We'll never be good enough. You know, this is a continuous improvement process. So get it out there. I look at some of the content that I created and published a month ago even, and I read it now and go, wow, that's an awkward sentence. But you know what? We did our best. We're just trying to communicate good information that's useful to our audience. We're not going for perfection. If you're publishing, by the way, David, I know you're not, but if you're going after a very, very discerning audience, let's say that you're marketing to academics, then I think going beyond the 85% is probably prudent. But those are rare instances. In most cases, 85% good enough as a theoretical milestone is about right.
Okay. Yeah. And both my audiences, I have a travel fitness website that teaches people how to stay fit while traveling. That's actually been on the back burner for almost a year now because of the problem we just talked about. And naturally, those aren't academics who are going to be researching all of my cited research. And then my business website, which is for fitness copywriting, it's more for fitness businesses, not going to be a clinical, you know, exercise physiologist that's going to be coming to the website. So yeah, I think both of those are going to be right in that 85% would be good enough.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. You're on the right track. Don't feel bad.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You bet. Patricia says, speaking of complicated, I have a client that builds customized office chairs. They've asked me to put out a 3 series of emails to customers, dealers, and designers, then start writing blogs for them. I wanted to do the PAS, but I don't know if I'm overcomplicating these emails. All right, let's bring you in because I'm not sure what PAS is, to be honest. Hey, Patricia, I'm looking for you. Are you the 403 area code? I don't see your name here in the list. That's why I'm asking. I got a 403 and then Horse Creek Production. Those are the only two that I don't have a name for. Or if you know how to unmute yourself, you can do that, and you know we can chat. That might be the easiest thing. I'm the 403. Chuck is the 403. Okay, so you must be Horse.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are. I see you now.
I called in on my phone. That's why.
okay, gotcha. Yeah. For some reason, it wasn't showing your name. Even with your phone, it typically does. But anyway, you're on, so.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Problem agitation solution is the.
Aha. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so now that I have that, I've asked you to do the 3 series of emails, then start writing blogs for them. Okay, so tell me about your concern. Your concern that you're overcomplicating the emails? What kind of emails are they?
It says my internet connection is unstable, so I may drop out. They are basically when people sign up for their website, it's a welcoming series basically, and then once they're done the 3 emails, then they start getting the regular newsletter/blog.
Okay. Now, how much direction did they give you in terms, let's call it the welcome sequence, right? So
yeah.
How much direction did they give you on that?
not a whole lot. But she did send me, so there's two, they have two businesses. One is like mainly office chairs that they sell to professionals and designers and that sort of thing. And then another one is like gaming chairs. So mm-hmm. she sent me the welcome sequence that they did for the gaming company. And it was very much, because it's to gamers. I mean, it's a significant investment to buy these chairs, but it's still a lot more talking about gaming and about that kind of mentality, whereas office chairs obviously are people working from home now and executives and people, designers who are designing offices for clients, etc.
Okay. When people sign up, what are they signing up for? Are they downloading some kind of lead magnet, or is it just, hey, sign up for a newsletter?
It's, right now, it's sign up for the newsletter.
Okay.
So, and obviously trying to turn them, excuse me, from leads and prospects into customers.
Okay. And what's kind of their process for that? I mean, are they trying to do that? Is that the objective, to start doing that through the welcome sequence?
Yes. And, okay. excuse me, they're all handmade, these chairs, and there's over a dozen customizations. And so everything from, you know, the type of chair, the type of fabric, the seat height and seat depth, to embroidery and logos and piping color and thread color, like everything can be customized.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, all right. So based on that, where are you having trouble? Because I mean, I have my own ideas to what these welcome sequences should do, and even in situations like this, but I don't want to, you know, give you something that you're not interested in. So let's just focus on what you want.
Well, I've never done email sequences before, so let's just start there. Okay. I've obviously signed up for newsletters and that sort of thing before. And so I'm trying to obviously strike the right tone. Mm-hmm. So making sure they're very professional, and I'm trying to not inject humor, but just sort of make it into more plain speak, because I mean, ergonomics and that kind of thing can be a bit dry and or woo, right? So you kind of have, and so I'm trying to get the right tone, but also be welcoming enough, and try and talk about their problems. So not everybody has back pain currently. The vast majority of them do. Mm-hmm. Trying to avoid pain, or, you know, trying to get a good ergonomic chair because you're working from home, you're working longer hours, that kind of thing. So trying to welcome them in the appropriate way. But then I have two more emails, and it's kind of like, okay, then what do? I welcome them, tell them that, you know, it was a good decision to sign up. You know, we're going to help you. We're going to give you online information about wellness and about ergonomics and about these great chairs that you have an opportunity to buy or that you already have bought. And then I've kind of moved into the second one is sort of talking a little bit more about the chairs and the problems that we're solving. You can become more productive. You can focus more. Your pain goes away, so you can focus more. You can play with your kids in the backyard. You can sit down in a comfortable chair and listen to their, you know, read stories to them and that kind of thing. And then the third one is kind of talking about the company. You know, why can we tell you, that we're going to help you with your pain? Because we've been doing it for over 50 years. you know. And
gotcha. So that's the third one.
Yeah.
The second one is different benefits. Tell me, I missed the first one. What was the first one?
The first one is just basically talking about, thank them for signing up and kind of validating their decision to sign up. So it's not really, yeah. And so I don't really, it's the emails that I have are quite a bit longer than I think they.
Hey, I think we're losing you now.
You're here.
Okay. Yeah. You just came back. I lost you for about 10 seconds.
Okay.
By the way, are you just 100% online right now, or are you dialed in as well?
No, I got off the call when you couldn't find me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause yeah, we could try the call again, as long as I know, you know, what will happen is when you dial in with a phone, it'll also give you a guest ID number.
Yes.
Just make sure to punch that in, cause then that ties your phone with your name.
Oh, I tried that, but I don't think that it took it.
Yeah. Okay. You got to hit pound at the end. Sometimes it doesn't tell you that. Okay. So, but you're good now. So, all right.
Okay.
So here's, I'm going to give you my philosophy on this, and you know, it may be something that they're open to. It may not, but I'll explain why I feel strongly about it. The problem with most welcome sequences is that they're dry, boring, irrelevant in speaking to everybody in the world rather than one person. In other words, they're just trying to account for every possibility and every possible need and interest. And when you do that, you make everybody unhappy. You know what I'm saying? When you try to make everybody happy, you make everybody unhappy because you're not speaking to me. You know, and we've all joined, you know, pretty much every list you join, it's kind of like this approach. It's like, hey, thank you for subscribing. You've made a good decision. You know, here's what we do. And then it's kind of short. And so you're kind of following the sequence that everybody uses. Number two, it's, you know, these are different benefits of our chairs. You know, this is what sets us apart and all that. Number three, you know, a little bit about our history, things you may not know. The problem is that everyone who joins your list is a different person, different individual with different needs, desires, aspirations. You just don't know. And it's interesting that, I mean, let's say you had an ice cream store and you were the proprietor, you're also the one working the counter that day. Somebody came into your store, first time person, right? That's kind of the same thing as joining a list of kind of coming through the door and you're sitting behind the counter and they're out there and you greet them. You know, I don't think in a situation like that, it would be prudent or even normal to say, hey, thank you for coming in. You've made the right decision. Let me talk to you about the different benefits and the different flavors that we have and why they're all so yummy. And you go through all 31 flavors. And then when you're done, the person is going, what in the world? Then you get into, let me tell you about the history of this ice cream store, right? And that's exactly what's going on here. So I think it's a worthwhile exercise to ask yourself, if you were in that hypothetical situation, what would you do? Hey, welcome. You know, have you eaten here before? Right? So, and let me see if I can find you. I think you dialed in. Oh, here we go. Okay. I think I brought you in. No, maybe not.
Oh, I muted myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So far so good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? So you would probably welcome them, thank them for coming in, and ask them a question. Hey, you know, it could either be, is this your first time here, or have you, you know, tried our ice cream before? Or it might, and they might say, oh, no, I've been here before. Oh, great. Well, thanks for coming back. You know, what's your favorite ice cream, or what did you have last time? Do you remember? I'm making this up, but you know where I'm going with this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I am a chocolate guy. I'm just all chocolate. And I think I forget the name of it. It had chocolate and it had peanut butter and it had like walnuts. Oh, you mean yada, yada, yada. Yeah, that's the one. It's like, oh, that's one of the most popular flavors, right? And you start that conversation and that would be a very natural thing to do. Why would we want to follow the same thing in an email? Okay. So I don't know, you know, everyone here has come into my world different times, but a couple of years ago, I changed the way I did this. And my welcome sequence now follows that format. And, you know, you download something from me, you subscribe to my newsletter, right away, you get the, hey, thanks for requesting this download. Here you go. Here's a link to that page. Ed, that's it. Like, really short. That's the, I'm giving you what you asked for. It's the next day I write, and this part is automated, but then the rest of it is manual. The next day they get, so that would have been like this one. So this is the download. This is what they requested. The next day they get a thanks again plus a question. It's a very non-threatening question, which is, hey, listen, thanks again for downloading that yesterday or for subscribing to my newsletter. I'm curious, what types of clients do you typically work with? Okay. I just want to know. And, you know, we get a huge percentage of people responding to that. And then after that, so it's like download, then this, and then after that, it's all manual.
So the question, could I ask the question, you know, what brought you here? What, like, are you currently experiencing pain or are you just looking for preventive measures, that kind of thing? Is that?
Yeah, if it's a very basic question that you might ask if they came into the store that actually sold these chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you could segment them more
exactly. Now, by the way, when I say manual, I'm not saying this is my example. I'm not saying you're going to need to turn this into a manual process.
Mm-hmm.
I was just giving you an example to show you how I handle it.
Okay.
But the point here is that it's the, here you go. Here's what you asked for. That might not apply here, but the first email should be a thanks again. You know, thanks for subscribing. And then asking a question and making it as personal as possible. So in other words, not making it feel like this is a bot.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if it could come from one person, you know, from the president or VP of whatever, even better. So it's, you're humanizing the message. Okay. And mm-hmm. and it would be what's the most natural question you could ask at this point. Now we know that they've either that they let's just say I think you they already have the gaming chair welcome sequence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this would be the office chair one.
Yeah.
So it's have you tried any of our chairs before? Like, you know, one thing you wouldn't ask at a store, and this is what all salespeople ask you, you know, can I help you with anything? Because what are you going to say?
No, I'm good.
I'm just looking.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you don't want that. You want a different question that will, because that what you're asking a question, what most salespeople do is ask a question that shuts off the conversation.
Yeah.
Right? That it's going to dead end right there. So you want to ask a question that's going to spark discussion. Have you tried any of our chairs before? I'm just curious. That's a very welcoming and unexpected question. It's mm-hmm. non-threatening. I don't feel like you're going to try to sell me something. It's a very natural way to start a conversation.
Yeah, I like that.
And then from there, then you can put that person in or tag them or segmenting them in a way that makes sense. Now, in order to do that really well, they're going to need some staff to be able to handle that and to respond manually like I do. Another way of doing it could be the, you know, so let's do it here. Actually, there's not going to be a download. So it could be the, you know, thank you plus question and then choices. So kind of a multiple choice question. And then based on the one they click, then the next email they get is going to be more personalized. Mm. Hey, thanks so much for joining or subscribing. I'm curious. I'm me because I'm Kevin, whatever, Kevin Smith, the VP of, you know, customer service or whatever. What is your, you know, something that's like, what's your current situation or what's of interest to you? Or have you tried one of our chairs before, right? It depends. But based on that, then they're going to be put on a different sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know, or it could be the, what type, you know, what type of situation are you trying to resolve or
mm-hmm.
what are you looking for in a chair? Whatever it might be, you know, it's the kind of, by the way, brainstorming that question should take some time because it's a very strategic decision. It shouldn't yeah. just be like whatever comes to mind. And let's just say going with the, you know, what are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to solve? If it's the, you know, the back pain, then it's, you know, then this, the pain sequence.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the, you know, comfort, if it's the style, some people really like, you know, a certain style. Mm-hmm. So this is the comfort, this is the style. I don't know, I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
But you see how you can make this experience so much more relevant and engaging mm-hmm. and increase the probability that they will then turn into a customer?
Yeah. Okay, that's really helpful.
Going back to the ice cream store. No, it's the first time here. Oh, cool. So are you, you know, are you kind of a fruit person, chocolate person?
Mm.
I don't know. I'm definitely a chocolate person. All right. Well, listen, let me steer you. Let me give you a couple of choices. And in fact, I'm going to give you some free samples. Okay. I got this, and this. Let me tell you about them. Would you, you know, would that make you? Would you want me to tell you a little bit more? Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. These look amazing. Right, that is much more interesting than let me tell you the history of the company, different, you know, how we make our ice cream, et cetera. So I hope I didn't just make your work like a nightmare. Now
you didn't make it a nightmare. I really like them. It's just we've talked about three emails. Now this kind of opens mm-hmm. it up for a lot more, which is great for me because it gives me more work, but whether they'll go for that is another, but I think that it makes sense and it makes it a lot more personal, which is what they're all about because
yeah,
each chair is handmade and they are trying to make it individual to people.
Maybe what you could do is, I mean, the way I would probably approach it now that you're already into the project, right? So I might try, hey, whoever your contact is.
Yeah.
Have you, I'm already started, but I had a thought or I had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you considered going with an approach that personalizes the experience and the engagement a little better? And here's kind of what I had in mind or, you know, can we
yeah.
talk? Might
yeah.
be better through conversation.
Yeah.
And then let's see. And if they say, listen, I get it. However, here's why we can't do that right now. I would come up with a solution somewhere in between. I still would not come back to this.
Yeah.
You know, even if there's just one element, like one element you could personalize.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle had a good term for the user journey. everything is going this way. I mean, you've probably noticed a lot of it is happening behind the scenes and it's kind of invisible to us as consumers, but this has been a huge movement. And yeah. Going to this, it's like going backward.
Mm-hmm.
I think this turns it into, and by the way, I mean, like, consider, instead of like, oh gosh, but you know, this is a lot more email, so they go for it, it's going to be a bigger project. Each email would actually be shorter.
Yes, true.
You know, you don't have to tell the whole story, you can keep it really focused. So this is like taking these emails that were going to tell the whole story and just splintering it into more individualized, personalized emails.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And
thank you so much.
I mean, here's what I would do too. Like if it came to it, if it came down to this, I would be willing to just hold my fee or as close to it as possible to give the client something that's going to work better, mm-hmm. letting them know, you know, that I'm doing this and getting their buy-in and then trying it, see how it works and then getting them to be really happy. And using, you know, the money I left on the table, using that as a learning opportunity. And because getting to do something like this is really cool. And you could get a testimonial. This could lead to more work. It yeah. positions you as a strategic advisor, not just an order taker. Just so many benefits.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. Awesome. Thank you very much. I know I took a lot of time.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Good stuff. I'm glad you brought this up. This is important stuff and working with clients. Okay. Let's see. David has a question. He says, I just finished a training on productized services. Can you or should you offer only productized services? I can see a lot of benefits in telling new clients, hey, this is what I offer. Here are the tiers. Take it or leave it. But is this a smart way to offer your products? Should you be more flexible? Should you offer a percentage of both productized services and flexible content options? I know this will be different for everyone, but I'm curious what you think about this as an overall business strategy. Yeah, great question. Hey, David.
Hey, Ed.
Hey. All right, so just so everyone understands, productized services, guys, so this is the easiest way to explain it is a fixed scope for a fixed fee. So rather than, let's just say, white paper, well, it depends. You need a white paper. I need to ask you a few questions so I can give you a quote. Is saying, look, I do this kind of white paper. It's between this number of pages or, you know, the page range between X and Y. You get all these things, and here are the limits to what it includes, and it's $4,500 flat fee. Right, so by getting real specific and narrowing down your scope, you're able to be confident in the fixed fee that you're offering it for. You're standardizing it. That's why you're treating it like a product. So yeah, the question is, should that be your model? Should everything you offer be productized? And here's the thing, there's no right or wrong, but you know what I would base it on is your audience. It really depends on how your audience is used to buying or would be more likely to buy the service. Generally speaking, the less sophisticated the audience, the more likely they are to buy a productized service. So for instance, like a website package that includes copy, design, and then some other elements such as opt-in elements and so forth. I mean, setting that up for them with MailChimp. That could be a productized service. That's perfect for a small business that is not going to want, is not set up or sophisticated enough to buy that a la carte, right? So does that make sense?
No, absolutely. And the bulk of my clients, now that you just said that one of my goals I'm writing down right now on my action list is to go through all of my past and current clients and my ideal client and see what the bulk of them have requested from me. So primarily I would say I write blog articles, blog posts or articles, all of which are heavily researched. ebooks to some extent, and down the line of like a reverse pyramid shape, at the very bottom is probably like online fitness courses. So different levels of work, different levels of research and getting really in depth with the content. But I would say the foundation of what I do is definitely going to be blog posts, articles, above that copywriting, above that ebooks, and above that online courses.
Yeah. Okay. So the factors are really going to be, you know, your audience, and then the work and how productizable. It is. What do I mean by that? Is you gave a perfect example, blog post. That's something that's relatively simple to productize. Of course, you're going to have to draw some parameters there. These are longer form posts, between 1,000 and 1,500 words, or 1,000 and 1,300. They include this, that, and the other, and it's XML. And you might even bundle them. You know, you could create some bundles, but the point is, you've done enough of them that you know. You know what you're getting into. The third one is kind of related to number two, is how would I describe it? System or process. How systemizable can you make it? Meaning, is this something you can document very accurately so you could train other writers to do? Even if you did all the writing yourself, the reason I say, can you document it so somebody could be able to follow the instructions and with some training and guidance, they'd be able to basically replicate you? That's a really good litmus test, because it shows that this is something you can scale. And with productized services, many times that's the goal, is your ability to be able to scale it. So your audience and how they buy and how they're used to buying this stuff, or how receptive they would be. The work, so how productizable would it be for you? And then the system process to get that work created. How systemizable can you make it? Make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, thank you very much, Ed.
Yeah, absolutely. So blog posts is definitely a great category. Anything that's repeatable, has a lot of frequency. Case studies is one that I considered there for a long time to do. And in fact, I was pretty much productizing it, because I was all my case studies, basically, just I had already narrowed the scope down to very specific items, you know, a set of bullets. And as long as they were between, you know, 1 to 2 pages, I noticed that writing one page wasn't necessarily easier than writing two. So that's what I could afford to give a 1 to 2 page range, up to 2 interviews, one with the client, one with their customer. I had a very specific list, and you know what? I could comfortably do them all for $1,500. So again, that's this part. And number one, I know the audience would be very keen to that, because it's something they need a lot of, at least my target market. So yeah, you decide. I think in many cases, for most of us, is we're not gonna do 100% productizing unless you focus on one thing, like audience ops. In fact, let me pull it up to see if this is a good example. There's a lot of these companies out there right now, by the way, and don't be scared when you look at their fees, but if I'm going to share the screen with you guys. Audience ops, better content, better customers. All right, so this outfit, this started by Brian Castle. I believe he still runs it. And they do content for small businesses. Podcasting is a new thing for them. They started with blog content. I think later they added case studies. This is new since I've been here last. And you could very easily find, okay, how it works, our system, done for you. We include, we can do lead magnets. I think they include a content upgrade for every blog post, but then they have three tiers. So notice, I mean, this is like classic productizing. We got a standard level, light, and light, but paid differently. Oh, no lead magnet. And this one includes lead magnet. So anyway, when you're able to break it down like this, and that's, again, I've showed you this example because I thought all they did was still blog posts, but now they've added some other things. By the way, this is another great point is the way to productize services, David, is one thing at a time. So even if you decide to move to 100% productize, I don't recommend you just kind of flip that switch immediately. You pick one offering that meets the criteria that I showed you, and you test it. And then you see. And based on what you learn, you decide to keep going or iterate or just pull back. And then just like with Brian and his team, obviously what they have done, as you can see here, they started with this. They've added case studies and podcasting. You know, I'm sure because somebody asked them at one point. Anyway.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, total sense. And that was my idea was I was going to start with blogs just because it is, like you mentioned, the training. It is the most productizable thing you can do. And I've before I even took your training, I was already documenting how to write an article based on my business format. So it kind of just lends itself naturally to trying it out and giving it a whirl.
Perfect. Good stuff. I like you thinking about it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much again.
My pleasure. All right, guys. We have an open floor right now. We have time still for another question. So have you been holding back or you got a second question? We can certainly take it. All right, I don't see any other questions. So let's do this. Let's start wrapping up. I'm curious about two things. Takeaways. Tell me about a takeaway, something that was useful in today's conversations, even if it wasn't something that we talked about directly. Maybe it was from another conversation that I had with somebody else in the group. So David, let me know in the chat area. A T for takeaway, and then an action item. I want to make sure that everyone leaves with at least one actionable item from this call. It could be something really, really simple. It doesn't matter. I love to take great notes, but many times I take great notes and they just sit in my notebook. So I want to make sure you have at least one item in your notes right now, in your notepad, that you circle, and this is something that you're going to focus on sometime in the next 2 weeks, okay? So T for takeaway, A for action item. Let's see, got a few here. Takeaway, the email sequence discussion you had. Okay, good. Michael, the five phases of marketing in the coronavirus era. Absolutely, great to hear that resonated. Chuck said the five phases, good. David, the 85% rule for my own content. Can't wait to start using this. Awesome, yeah, there you go. You'd be able to get stuff out that needs to see the light of day. And then David also says action items reviewing copywriting on my website to make it more relevant for the times. Yeah. Again, with website copy, we didn't really get into that too much other than showing you what Mike McAllowitz had done. Slight tweaking. Okay. No reason to go overboard right now. Just make sure because the natural process is going to be for whatever kind of marketing you're doing. The next step, logical step, is for someone to check you out on your website and LinkedIn, or one or the other. You want to make sure that both of those properties have some slight adjustments that speak to the current context, okay, and the current reality. It's going to be a lot more relevant. You think, well, why would, you know, why? You know what? There's no rhyme or reason to it. That's just the way we are. As humans, if we can tell that that person is connecting with us based on what they're really worried about right now, that everything else being equal, that's who's going to get the call. Okay. Greg says, takeaway, seeing how AudienceOps lays out its services. Yeah. Leslie says, takeaway was send email to my prospect about how they can pivot with web content. Perfect. Sandra says the five phases of marketing. Chuck says takeaway is 85%, which I also see is done is better than perfect. Yeah, exactly. Michael's action item increase formula prospecting, get back on LinkedIn 3-2-1, start reaching out to network and other great ways for prospects. Perfect. And Patricia says takeaway was email conversation with client. There you go. Take it one step at a time there. Just, you know, present this idea and see what they think. And, you know, if they're not going to go for it, try to come up with something that try to meet in the middle so that it is effective, or at least is much more effective than the traditional welcome sequence approach. Sandra's action item, LinkedIn, write about me. And Greg, action item, start warm emailing. Excellent, guys. Hey, good stuff. Great discussion today. Good variety here. I hope this call was helpful. It sounds like it was. I wanted to remind everybody that our last call for the Accelerator program is in a couple of weeks. In fact, let me look at the exact date. Our last call is on April 15th, which is no longer tax day, which kind of is and kind of isn't. Just a reminder for those of you in the U.S., you still have to file by April 15th, but if you owe money to the IRS, that deadline is no longer April 15th. It's been extended to July 15th. Okay, as always, I'm certainly not an accountant, so check with your accountant on that, but that's one of the extensions or one of the items of help we've gotten from the government. So just know that if you owe a lot of money, I know I have a huge payment to make. I get a little bit of relief there. So anyway, one of the things I wanted to mention, just remind you that that's our last call. The program will officially end on April 30th. Susan and I will both be on that call. Okay, so it'll be business as usual. We're going to be answering questions. We're not necessarily going to be presenting new material. Although between now and then, there's something along the lines of those phases that we talked about earlier that we feel are going to be helpful for you, then we definitely want to hit those. But you know, try to make it. It'd be great to have you there. And of course, we'll continue the conversation in the Facebook group. So you guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again real soon. Take care.